Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm WSB's Clark Howard. From Dunwoody to Douglasville,
Washington to Woodstock,
whenever and wherever there's
severe weather,
a traffic red alert,
or breaking news,
the WSB 24-hour breaking news center
will break in.
Depend on it.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
Friday Eve to you, Mark Arum here, you there. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Hope you had a fantastic week and obviously a great weekend. I will be off on Monday night for the 4th of July holiday, but I'll be back at work on Tuesday, filling in from 5 to 7 during Atlanta's Evening News. To get you in the holiday spirit, the 4th of July Independence Day holiday, we decided to have someone funny come in. He is Alonzo Bowden. He is at the Punchline this weekend. Mr. Bowden, welcome to the Mark Arum
Show. Thank you, Mark. How you doing? Yes, I actually made it here. I made it through holiday travel through Atlanta's airport, and I'm going right back to the airport to get in the TSA line now.
It's crazy,
I'm
going to
just
right?
get in line now for my flight Monday. And yeah, it has gotten absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, to their credit, the TSA workers do a heck of a job. And I'm going to be honest, if I'm up there for minimum wage, I ain't looking too close for bombs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm getting minimum wage and I see a bomb, I'm going to probably go on break. I'm going to say, yeah. Hey, man, listen, I got this. I'm taking my 15.
Steve, you're up.
Yeah, you
Steve,
got it.
You're
Steve.
On. No, let me ask you a question.
Crazy travel.
So you've traveled since the latest terror attack in Turkey. So
yeah.
You've been to the airport. Did you see any increased security
measures?
You know,
they do increase the presence. I think there's a level of security that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's obviously the front line that we see going through the metal detectors and this and that. But I think they have professionals, and they've said it before, that are watching things that we don't see them, but
sure.
They see us. Because it is, all joking aside, it's a tough job. Like, you can't check everybody as much as you try. But I don't know. It's a tough gig. So hopefully we're okay.
You know, I have two
suggestions. Always paranoia.
To help things out. Whoever's doing the security at a casino in Vegas, hire them to do the security.
Because
they can tell if you're trying to steal a $5 chip off the roulette table, they can figure out who's got
a
bomb.
And the key word in that is try, because no one's ever got one.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
Like, you thought you had one, and they do it quietly. You take three steps, and then two guys just walk up next to you. Excuse me, we need to talk to you for
exactly
a minute.
Exactly right.
You know, and
like in a casino.
Yeah.
You know, we got they did the. They had the fake birthday cake come out,
right.
And while everyone's looking there, they zap the other guy and drag him. Just have the casino guys do security. My second suggestion is just all the sky caps, you know, the guys that you check your bags out of the cab, at the curb, give them all AK-47s. You trust them with your luggage, so I trust them with a gun. Let those guys, they've seen it all, they know it all, they know what's up, just arm them.
And the only problem with that is if you give them a tip, they'll let you bring your gun through. Like, yeah, man, here's $10. Oh, yeah, you can go through.
You can
go through.
So Alonzo Bowden in studio, he is at the Punchline this weekend. Three shows tomorrow, 6, 8, and 10-ish.
Yes.
They're all ish comedy clubs. You
six
never know.
Starts about on time, but then we stretch late, and then, you know. But
So where did you fly in from? Where are you living?
I live in L.A.
Okay.
I live in L.A., but I came here. I was in actually in Vermont.
What?
I was doing a corporate event in Vermont. You know, after I saw, like, I've never spent a lot of time in Vermont.
Yeah.
But going through Vermont and the back roads and the hills, with all due respect, Bernie wasn't ready to be president. Because if you're going to be president, you got to come from a place that has at least one four-lane highway or a stoplight or something. I mean, Vermont, it's beautiful, but you're in the country the whole time. And it's just, and I was like, man, you're going to You're going to go from here to president? That's a big jump, Bernie.
I grew up in Connecticut, and I've been in Vermont like twice. If you don't ski, there's
right,
really that, no
that's
reason
what
to go
it
to
is.
Vermont.
Actually, it's funny you mention that, because the place I was at doing this event was a ski resort. And you want to talk about quiet, go to a ski resort in June. You're like, I want to get something to eat. They say, yeah, so do we. So do we. We were looking for a place that was open.
Is there even an airport in Vermont? Do they have one? Do you have to fly to Boston or Maine?
I had to fly out of Albany.
New York?
Yeah.
No kidding.
But it was an hour away, you know, because it was near the border of Vermont and New York. So I'm sure there has to be an airport there because people ski. Anywhere people ski, they have to have somewhere to bring their private jets.
Exactly right. So, a little private airstrip.
I'm sure there is
an airport. Who's your agent that's booking you a corporate gig in Vermont?
I'll tell you who my agent is. Someone who's taking the long weekend off. Yeah, Lonzo, we're going to send you down to Atlanta. Me? No, I'm not going. I'm going to a barbecue. Yeah. But you get you down to the punchline.
So. Will you be here Monday? Do you need invites to the cookouts?
I'm going
to
be here. No, we have shows Saturday and Sunday. Monday morning, I'm going to go down to the airport and try to leave.
Okay.
Actually, no, I'm
Monday
gonna,
should be all right.
It'll be all right. I'm going to head back home. And they said the roads actually are going to be crazy because of the price of gas. But they always say that, right? Every summer they say, like, yeah, everybody's going to be driving because the price of gas is so cheap. You know who's mad about the price of gas?
Who's that?
Whoever made Hummers. Right? The Hummer people are like, man, why didn't they? We shut down the whole thing, everybody out of work, and now gas is free.
Do they not make Hummers anymore?
No, they stopped making Hummers 4 or 5 years ago.
I still see them around.
There's still a few. Well, you can drive them again.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not too expensive.
You see a lot of Hummers out here with low mileage. low mileage
Hummer. Electric
Hummer.
Plug it in. Alonzo Bowden in studio. So let me ask you a question. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in New York.
All right.
Yeah, I grew up in New York.
Is it
and
necessity
I moved to LA.
For comics to live in L.A. now?
No. Actually, comedy is bigger in New York now than L.A. In the 90s, when I started doing comedy, comedy was in L.A. And there were a lot of sitcoms, and The Tonight Show was in L.A. But now, all of the late night shows are in New York, other than Conan. Conan's show's still in L.A. And Jimmy Kimmel. But Jimmy Kimmel doesn't do a lot of comics. But the hot shows and the hot comics, you know, like Chris Rock lives in New York, Louis C.K. lives in New York, you know, and now the next generation, Amy Schumer, and that whole, the Comedy Central crew, right, Key and Peele show, all of it, it's all coming out of New York.
So I moved,
I've made some brilliant career decisions, and thank you for reminding me of that one.
New York guy, so, I'm moving away from the comics.
Yeah, I'm going to head to L.A. with it, you know. But it's good. But yeah, right now the business is in New York.
Queens? Brooklyn?
I grew up
from?
In Queens. I grew up in St. Albans. I didn't know I grew up in the hood until 50 Cent mentioned it in a song.
That's when you
like,
knew you
we
arrived.
Were just in it. It was just, you know, working class black neighborhood. We were cool. And 50 says the hood. We were like, what? What happened? What happened? Property values dropped. Everything changed.
That's fair. Where did you go to high school? Did you go to high school?
I went to aviation high school. I went to a specialized high school in New York and learned to fix airplanes. That's actually what took me to L.A. When I graduated from high school, I was hired by Lockheed Martin and moved to L.A.
Okay.
And I worked on the first stealth fighters, the ones we used.
The ones
in
we
the
stole
first,
from the aliens.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
planes from
yeah,
the
that
aliens,
was,
right?
That was the one. Yeah, the F-117. So I worked. That's what I did in the 80s. And then I
no,
started.
No, right. You say you worked on that. What specifically? Were you like cup holders?
Well,
I started out
in sheet metal building the structure of the airplane, mm-hmm. and ultimately I became one of the hydraulic test crews. So I worked on the flight controls and all the accessories.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, well, I when I say I worked on it, like I worked on
worked
it.
On
I didn't. I didn't just wipe it down.
Was the price? Wasn't it like $1 billion a pop for those things or something at that point?
No, that you're thinking of the bomber. Bombers were $1 billion. The fighters were a couple of hundred million. But I'll tell you the historic scandal. I guess I can talk about it now.
Yeah, sure.
That remember the $600 hammers? Remember that big thing and $1,000
toilet seats
and all.
Exactly.
That?
Yeah.
Well, that was to pay for the stealth fighter. There was an airplane that Lockheed made called the P-3, mm-hmm. which was an anti-submarine detection airplane. And that was like public, like people knew they were making it. And we were in the buildings next door, and it literally all blacked out, no windows, nobody knew what was going on.
The way
they financed the secret project is overcharged for everything on the public project. So the reason that the P-3 had $1,000 toilet seats is because they were paying for the stealth to be built.
That's unbelievable. That's,
yeah, and what I learned in doing that is that, and that's how the government operates and how military projects go. So it's like there's always something going on that they're not telling you about. You know what I mean? If they're telling you about A, B and C are really where the technology
is.
That's
unbelievable.
And the thing about all of that aircraft, people are like, why we spend so much money on that? You know why? Because 20, 30 years from now, it's going to be on your car. You know what I mean? Like
true.
GPS, anti-lock brakes,
all that
and all
stuff
that.
Started.
That was all developed on airplanes way back when. Yeah. So that is where they do this. You know, I understand people's beef about it, but it is where they do the scientific research. I don't know how we got to hear from comedy. I'm doing scientific research.
I was about to ask,
now.
Is this the first time that we've ever gone, that you've ever gone this deep in aviation?
No. Actually, and as long as we're on it, I am on a show on the Science Channel Wednesday nights at 10 called How to Build Everything.
No kidding.
And it's a comedic engineering show, and we being me and some other co-hosts, we talk about how to build everything from Apache helicopters to cruise ships to pipe organs to jackhammers. We show how all of these things work. And it's a really funny show, Wednesday
awesome.
Nights at 10 on Science Channel. And it was fun for me because it was a place where my mechanical background, you know, was able to work with my comedy background and explain.
The only
this.
Time in your life that's going to
yeah,
come
there's,
together.
There's not a lot of times when they're like, you got any Apache helicopter jokes?
Real quick, let me ask, how did you make the leap from aviation to comedy?
Teaching. I was training new mechanics, mm-hmm. and I just had more fun making them laugh. And they were, you know, there's a lot of layoffs in the aircraft industry, and a layoff was coming up, and I tried comedy and absolutely loved it, never looked back. Then they started drug testing in the aerospace industry, and I said, I'm going to stick with comedy. Yeah, a little more.
That's fantastic. And then you were on Last Comic Standing?
I was on season two, then I won on season three.
That's awesome.
And that was a great run. That was my introduction to America.
Yeah.
And like we were talking about before we went on air, when you win a show like Last Comic Standing, you find out where all of your family is. Hey, you just start getting emails like, hey, I'm your cousin's brother's husband twice removed. You got any money?
That's
no.
Yeah. That's but career-wise, I mean, Last Comic Standing
it was great. It was my intro to America.
Do you
it
ever
was,
hear from your old aviation buddies?
Yeah, I'm still friends with a lot of guys who I worked with. The funny thing about that was when I did Last Comic Standing, a lot of them posted online pictures of when I worked, you know, like,
yeah.
Me and Alonzo used to work together. And people in comedy were like, oh, you really were an airplane mechanic. Like, I had made up the whole backstory. They were like, oh, you really? I'm like, yes, I really did that. So that was a lot of fun. And, I'm still friends with some of the guys who I used to work with. And it's now the only place. I'm on an airplane every week.
Yeah.
You know, traveling, and it's
so, you know, if you hear something funky, you know what's up. Like,
I
the
tell
hydraulic.
People, like, look, I don't know how to fix it, but I know five ways to get off of this thing they ain't tell you about. I know how to lift this carpet up and crawl through the bay into the cargo bay and out. Don't worry, I'm not going down in an airplane.
Alonzo Bowden in studio. He is at the Punchline this weekend. Three shows tomorrow night, 6, 8, and 10. Tickets available online, punchline.com. Hang on one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right, Alonzo Bowden in studio. Coming up in the show, Lancel Lannister from Game of Thrones will join us. Stick around, more to come. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Welcome back. Friday edition of The Mark Arum Show. Still to come on the program, Lancel Lannister will join us from the Game of Thrones talking about the season 6 finale. In studio now, a lot stronger, funnier than Lancel Lannister. He's Alonzo Bowden. He's at the Punchline this week. And how do you work out? You're obviously a very muscular dude.
I used to play ball and I used to lift weights and stuff like that. Now it's more, you know, non-impact. You know what I mean? You get older and you're like, I tried CrossFit. And, you know, I had bad knees. I used to play a lot of basketball. And my knee swole up, and I went to the doctor. And my doctor, what? You were doing what? He said, listen, you're an old man. Get on a bicycle. You ain't supposed to be jumping up on boxes anymore.
Oh,
take
yeah.
it easy. So, but I try to work out. It's just, you know, people talk about how big I am. It's like, look, it's not intentional. You know, you get older, and the body just, like, things you used to eat that went away, they stay with you now. So,
I feel that. I absolutely see that.
So,
So obviously,
to keep moving.
Huge following because of Last Comic Standing and all the stuff you've done on television and movies. If the listeners want to keep up with you and your career, your movements, where can we find you?
I am at Alonzo Bowden, AlonzoBodden. I use my real name on all social media because so far no one's looking for me. There's no trouble. There have been no outstanding warrants or lawsuits that popped up. So actually on Instagram, I have to use ZoFunny because somebody took my name. You know how people take your name and then they're like, you want to buy? And I was like, nah. You keep it.
I'm good.
Go ahead.
So Zoe Money?
Zoe Funny.
Oh, Zoe Funny.
Zoe Funny.
ZoFunny.
Yeah, that's all my Instagram. Every Twitter, Facebook, everything, I'm at Alonzo Bowden. And please follow me. I'm trying to develop more. I don't have enough followers. My fans are like a generation older than Twitter, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Absolutely.
But now you need, so please, listen.
Your generation's on Facebook, though.
Ask your kids how to follow me on Twitter. And then do it. I get that. This is one that kills me, and I've had it happen a few times. A beautiful woman just walk up. Wow, you're Alonzo Bowden. My dad loves you. Thank you for that.
That's a
great moment.
So I'm going to go ahead and make a claim here that you are now my favorite Alonzo of all time. Passing, if you can guess what Alonzo you just passed. Not Alonzo Moore. Mm-hmm. I'm Syracuse guy, UConn guy, Alonzo Mourning fan.
Yeah, no, you're not going to be.
Fictional Alonzo, I'll give you a hint.
Oh, Training Day?
No. Oh, that's a good one, though.
Yeah.
All right, you might be number two then.
Okay, yeah, see, I just lost
Alonzo the Denzel. Mosley, Midnight Run.
Right, okay, yes, I've heard that one.
But
I've
forgot about Alonzo and Training Day. Damn, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm okay losing to Denzel. You could lose to Denzel in anything and be like, well, it's Denzel.
Yeah. Denzel, who won last copy? Oh, Denzel won last copy.
Denzel.
What are you going to do? Alonzo, this is great, man. Everyone go see him at the Punchline tomorrow, 6, 8, and 10. Follow him on Twitter, at Alonzo Bowden, B-O-D-D-E-N.
Yes.
Or ZoFunny on Instagram. Great to see you. Continued success.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll catch up with you in Vermont.
All right.
All right. News, weather, and traffic next. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Who filling them with octane? Got them gassed up. About to get blasted up, son. The last one, know the mother.
I'm WSB's Mark Arum.
The WSB 24-hour breaking news center is on alert. With immediate breaking news,
severe weather alerts,
traffic red alerts,
from Cobb to Cherokee,
Carroll to Gwinnett,
Fulton to Forsyth,
and all the rest.
All the rest.
WSB. Depend on it.
Hey, this is Rick Springfield, and you're listening to The Mark Arum Show.
Welcome to the show and a good Friday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. This is The Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Making his second appearance on The Mark Arum Show in less than 3 weeks, we are very happy to welcome back actor Eugene Simon from the Game of Thrones, a.k.a. Lancel Lannister. Eugene, thanks for joining us again.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Mark. Good to be back.
So the last time we talked to you was before the season finale, which occurred on Sunday. Your initial reaction to what you saw on screen with the finale, season 6?
I was back at home, having traveled all the way from Australia, on my couch, eating some dinner, absolutely exhausted, and we decided to turn on the Game of Thrones episode, and I just found it to be extraordinary. I was absolutely blown away, first of all, by the music that was incorporated into the very start of the episode. I just thought it really set the scene and made this really foreboding, sort of dreadful ambience for what was going to happen, and full credit to the orchestra that did that. But I thought Miguel Sapochnik, the director, just turned it into an absolutely fantastic bit of television. He edited it and put it together just with such brilliance. So I was really, really, I was literally and figuratively blown away by it.
Was that the first time you had seen the completed episode?
It was the first time I'd seen the episode, so it was news to me as well.
Wow. Well, the last two episodes of season 6 are some of the fine, I mean, there's been a lot of fine episodes, obviously, throughout the history of the series, but you guys really brought it the last two episodes of this season.
Yes, I mean, Miguel was focusing on the Battle of the Bastards fighting scene, I think, for about 8 days, you know, so it was solid work throughout throughout all of that, people being covered in blood, mud, grit, sweat, thrown off horses, cut in half. It was a pretty, I mean, really a groveling day for them. So what can I say? They worked their asses off and ended up with the show that you, ended up with the episode that you saw in the end. I mean, we're lucky to have the cast and crew that we do, but I mean, really, in this case, the crew just filmed and created something so special for that scene.
Talking to actor Eugene Simon from the Game of Thrones, it had to be, though, bittersweet as you were watching the end of Lancel Lannister on your television.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I feel very happy that Lancel got the death that he did. I've played him for four seasons over a course of 6 years, and I find myself very happy with the way that it's all turned out. It's been a pretty crazy adventure for me growing up and having this on my, having a piece of work like this to come back to so often. And I'm thrilled. I was never worried about dying. You know, it's something that is probably going to happen to most characters on the show. It's just a question of how you go. So I was thrilled, really. I couldn't have asked for a better death.
And, well, I mean, there's no coming back from what you had to deal with, your death there. I mean, you were literally face first into the explosion. So that's a no-brainer, right? The High Priestess isn't bringing you back to life.
Yes, no, I think the idea of Melisandre sort of trying to reanimate the vaporized ashes of Lancel Lannister are probably a fairly slim chance, but we can always hope, eh?
How long had you known that was going to be your demise? When did you find out that end of season six that you were no more?
I've known for a year. I found out the moment that just before we started filming. So Dan and David gave me a call, and they told me that Lancel is at the very center of a hugely dramatic end to a lot of characters, and he'll be the one sort of carrying the drama of whether or not this is actually going to happen. And I went, Jesus, I mean, wow, I'm stunned. And I just said, thank you. You know, I'm very, very grateful that you've given my character such a dramatic death. And I will do everything I can to make it as good as possible. So I was a lucky guy. I was a lucky guy, and I am still.
Does the cast and crew do anything special to actors whose characters are no longer on the show? Do you get a special send off in any way?
This is a show that has a lot of scenes to shoot. So once yeah. you are actually wrapped, there is a round of applause, maybe a little bottle of champagne open. But it does actually happen. It does actually move on pretty quickly. There is a lot to do, and I remember that Jonathan Pryce wrapped up on his last scene of the episode. Last scene of the show was the Sept of Baelor scene when he's blown to pieces, and it was pretty. It was a pretty extraordinary way to go. We're surrounded by 200 extras, everyone who's about to get blown to pieces, and everyone gives a round of applause, and then, you're done. You get out of your makeup, your costume, and you put it away for, for the rest of your life. It's a pretty crazy feeling.
So now you've crossed over from cast member to viewer like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. As a viewer, Eugene, what is going to happen, do you think, in season 7?
I mean, honestly, it's anyone's guess. You know, we've left it, as we always do, in a moment of real anxiety within Westeros. Everyone has an army. Everyone has an enemy. Everyone has a weapon that they are going to start using, whether it's a dragon or an army of the undead, or, it's looking that it's going to continue to be very, very explosive. And I'm not sure if this is true. It's just a rumor that I've heard, but I think we have about 13 episodes of this show left, so we're going to have to see what they've put in as content for those 13 hours.
Talking to Eugene Simon, Lancel Lannister from the amazing series on HBO, Game of Thrones. Season 6 finale was last Sunday. Now that you are no longer with the show in a living form, maybe we'll get you in a flashback or something. Give me your favorite moment or moments in your 4-season run on Game of Thrones. What will you look back years from now on and go, man, that was a great time?
I will always look back on the scene I did with Tyrion in season two, where Lanza was groveling in front of him, because that was, I think, my first long major scene within Game of Thrones, but the really long one-on-one bit of dialogue. And I remember working with Peter, and he's such a lovely guy. He's just such a kind spirit and a wonderful actor on top of it. And the whole feeling of being so sort of desperate and being very frightened and afraid and being a kind of child was one that I think that I hold on to very dearly, because it was sort of the end of innocence, really, for Lancel. It was one of the last real struggling moments of his character before he turned into a faith militant figure. And on top of that, I guess, you know, I was 19, I was a young kid, so I was sort of, I was sort of overcoming kind of what it is to be an adult. And it was very dear to my heart. I'll always remember that.
And it was a great scene, because you came in so full of confidence, and then Peter cuts you down to size, basically, in that scene. It was really a really good scene. You're right.
No, I enjoyed it very much, and I will always remember that very fondly. And the second one would be when Brother Lancel returns as a sparrow and confronts Cersei in season five. Just that completely reformed, physical appearance and personality was a pretty crazy thing to do. So I loved both of them. I really did.
Very good scenes. Were you surprised like I was? I mean, listen, I did a Twitter poll before the finale ended, and I asked my Twitter followers, who do you think is going to die? And Tommen and you were the top two vote getters. So it looked like people knew that you were going to get it and Tommen was going to get it. Maybe not the way Tommen got it. Were you surprised that I thought Margaery would survive. I thought she'd get out of there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There are a lot of characters that people thought would die. I think probably they probably wanted Lancel to die more than they knew it, because he's a tricky character. Mm-hmm. But I think that people knew about Tommen, because if those of you who have read the books know that there was some prophecy put down that him and the rest of his siblings do meet sticky ends. But Lancel, you know, they were right. The our fans are very, very, very intuitive. They make lots of guesses based on the traumatic experiences of characters that have been lost before, you know, all the way back to Ned Stark. So there are a lot of predictions that they have to make. And I suppose in this case, they were right.
And the one person I thought was definitely not going to last was Melisandre. And what do you know? She just gets sent packing to the south all of a sudden.
Suddenly she's alive. Yeah, it's a pretty, she's a lucky one. She's a lucky one. Maybe she can revive some of the disintegrated ashes of previous characters.
There you go. Finishing up with Eugene Simon, Game of Thrones. All right, so you're just in the greatest television series of all time. What's next for you in your career?
I came back from Australia to London and started working with a theatre company, a youth theatre company called the Oval House, which is just reopened and takes a lot of kids who want to get involved in acting off the street to really kind of help them out and get their lives back on track. And 007 actor Pierce Brosnan is our ambassador, and he's been helping us out no end, who incidentally also came into acting through this theatre. So that's been my priority right now, just keeping things local. But it's funny, since Lancel came onto TV, I've been having a number of offers on rather psychologically impaired and troubled characters. So maybe there's some sort of trend developing here. But once I have those characters secured, I will let you guys all know on Twitter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tell the folks how they can follow you, social media and all the good stuff.
Hopefully those listening to this are not driving. But if you are listening to this, then do head on to Twitter, and you can find me at Eugene_Simon, and definitely come say hello.
And I've been following you for a while now and getting great stuff on your thoughts on the EU and all that. So it's not just acting stuff that Eugene tweets about. Eugene, it's truly been an honor and a pleasure. I can't wait to see the next steps in your career. You were great as Lancel Lannister, and you're very kind to spend some time with us in the audience.
Thank you very much indeed, guys. It's been so nice being here, and I hope to speak to you guys again soon.
Absolutely. Best of luck, Eugene.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Stick around, more to come. This is the Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joining us now from one of my favorite restaurants, Del Frisco's Grill in Buckhead, Assistant General Manager Mike Clark. Mike, thanks for taking time out to join us on the Mark Arum Show.
Mark, it's thank you so much for having us to talk about this great cause.
I know a lot of the Mark Arum Show listeners are industry folk that once they leave the restaurants and bars, tune us in. So it's always good to know that you guys at Del Frisco's are listening. And it's time for me to repay the favor, because this Sunday you guys are doing a great charitable event. Tell the listeners about what you're doing.
So this Sunday we're doing an event called Burgers and Brews. There was a local officer here in Buckhead that was shot in the chest responding to a home invasion call. His name is Justin Fong Borden. We have an officer that works for us on Friday and Saturdays. His name is Tony Williams, and Officer Borden works for him. He told us a story about him getting about being shot. And we decided to put together a plan to help him and his family. He has a girlfriend. He's about to be a new dad. And he took a bullet here in Buckhead. You know, he's one of the guys that are here protecting us. So Burgers and Brews is this Sunday, July 3rd from 6 to 9 p.m. It's $25. You get two red hair IPAs, two Karma tequila peach margaritas called the Fong, because that's what Justin's nickname is.
Okay.
And so you get four drinks and a burger for $25, and 100% of that goes to Justin Fong and his family. So Ray from McBride from Karma Tequila donated 9 cases of tequila.
Wow.
And Brian Fucci from Atlanta Beverage donated all the red hair IPA. Our meat purveyor donated 1,000 prime beef patties and 1,000 burger buns. And then we're raffling off hotel stays and spa treatments and gift certificates to local restaurants. So the Mandarin around here, the W, Davio's, Oak Steakhouse, Rathbun Steak, and others, Williamson Barbecue, who showed up today with some gift cards. So we're raffling those off. $5 a ticket, 100% goes to Officer Borden and his family.
That's fantastic. So it's called Burgers and Brews. It's
Burgers
at
and Brews.
Del Frisco's Grill this Sunday, July 3rd from 6 to 9 p.m.
Yep.
Obviously a great cause, folks. $50, two beers, two tequila margaritas?
Peach margaritas.
Peach margaritas, and of course the delicious burger. And really, you need to go. And I'm gonna bring Loti and Longoria. We're gonna head over there.
Awesome.
Well, I know Loti will come. Longoria's got kids, so he might not be able to come. But I'll be there. Loti will be there. It's a great cause. $50.
$25.
It's less than that. Holy smokes.
$25.
That's even better. All right. So if folks want to get tickets to the event or just show up, how do they do that, Mike?
So you can go to our Facebook page and click on the very top, the Book Now button. That will take you to the link for Burgers and Brews. On our Facebook, there's like 5 other things you can click to get there as well. Or you show up the day of and pay $25 and get in the door and also participate in the raffle. I'll be selling raffle tickets all weekend long, $5 a piece, and it's going for a great cause.
Del Frisco's Grill right in Buckhead, right on Peachtree. You can't miss it. It's a great spot. $25. Jeez, Mike, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, with everybody, you know, contributing and donating everything, we wanted to make it affordable and have lots of people come out. You know, that's our goal, is to have lots of people come out. And Officer Borden's going to be here, so people will be able to shake his hand and encourage him for what he did. Not only did he take a bullet going in the door, they ran him over. And as he's laying on his back, he put 2 bullets in one of the perpetrators, and that's how they were able to find him.
Unbelievable. All right, Del Frisco's Grill on Facebook. Find the link. I will see you on Sunday. Mike, thanks as always, man, and great job with this great cause, buddy.
Thank you so much, Mark. We really appreciate it.
Stick around. More to come. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.